Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
The Celtic Exchange. A fresh insight on Celtic Football Club.
Celtic Park was in full flow on Saturday as the boys beat Hearts in one of the best performances of the season, thanks to goals from Kyogo and Matt O'Reilly. The result leaves us three clear at the top of the table with just three games remaining, the next of which is a Glasgow derby back at Celtic Park on Saturday. We'll discuss all of that and much more in between in this latest episode of the Celtic Exchange Weekly. This is Tino. Tonight I'm joined by James and Paddy as we once again cover all things Celtic. Paddy, Celtic Park is lively as I've seen it all season at the weekend. Your thoughts on how it all played out?
Place was electric on Saturday. What an atmosphere from the very get-go. We played really, really well. I thought we played some very, very good football at points, slick passing, slip moving. I thought that we took about 5-10 minutes to settle. Even after the first goal, we're still kind of just trying to find a little bit of a rhythm. But as soon as that second goal went in, we just took control of the game. I was really, really proud of the performance. Still wanted the third goal. I think as Celtic fans of late, we've seen some poor game management where we put ourselves under a little bit of needless pressure. But no, I thought it was a very, very comfortable performance.
And you got your third goal, you got your wish. I was watching some of the highlights back today. I haven't seen it since we were at the game on Saturday. And despite 3-0 being a very strong, comfortable scoreline, Joe Hart had his part to play in the end, some, didn't he?
He did. But I still think that comes from the quality of our players in the starting 11 as well. Gaps will be made. I think I mentioned it on the pre-match against Dundee. Teams are going to get chances against us. Teams will come up against us and test Joe Hart, and it's a credit to him that he stood up tall again. Nice to see a clean sheet on Saturday. Good for the confidence for the back line as well. But yeah, teams are exposing that left-hand side, as I've mentioned, and they're breaking it down pretty easy. Having said that, I still thought that the performances of Scales and Taylor was to a really good standard. I thought Greg Taylor especially looked a lot more livelier down the left. I think Forrest is also helping his game as well. Some slack passes from Hatate, but still some incredible passes from him too, which helped that left-hand side as well.
Some brilliant stuff. There was actually more chances than I realised, James. When you watch it back, Hatate had a great chance in the box. It was Nicholas Kuhn played a really cute ball along the deck to him on the edge of the box. He's played a very quick one to Matt O'Reilly and got his shot away. And as much as I've mentioned, Joe Hart's made some big saves. Xander Clapp's kept them in it at various points of the game. James, you and I done the post-match, spoke obviously about the huge importance of the fans and the part they played on Saturday. As I say, I thought it was as good an atmosphere as you'll have all season. And we've now got two of our three remaining games in the league at home at Celtic Park. How big a part do we as fans have to play here?
Huge part. You know, you really felt that on Saturday. And the players, I'm sure, felt it. You know, I was saying the post-match, you're walking up to the game and you're going, this feels good. You know, yep. It felt like the Dundee United game where Rangers had dropped points at Ross County and Abada scored in the last minute. Just some games just feel a wee bit different. So same again the next, well, three games, but two home games especially.
Just wondering if two glasses of baby sham was what made you feel that kind of buzz before the game.
That was post-match.
Post-match. Paddy, we've spoken at various points throughout the season about the, I think it's fair to say, relatively indifferent form at home. We've been a wee bit up and down. We've had three draws. We've drawn with St Johnstone, Motherwell and Kilmarnock. And obviously that defeat by Hearts, not all that long ago. But Brendan Rodgers came out at one point and said, you know, it's one thing asking for the fans to play their part. We need to give them something to get excited about. And I think the players absolutely met that challenge at the weekend.
Absolutely. And I think probably for me as well, what added to that was being back at Celtic Park, not being there in a couple of weeks. And also the park. I thought the park looked brilliant on Saturday. And I've seen Joe Hart's even come out and giving it credit as well. The movement from us, as I said, was just there to be seen. They really enjoyed the game. I think they enjoyed the atmosphere, the amount of tackles we were getting stuck into as well. And it's not just the players you expect it from, like Carter Vickers or Scales or even McGregor for that matter. You're looking at Hatate getting stuck in. Kyogo was throwing himself about as well.
Yeah.
Everyone was up for it. Everyone was really, really taking an energy off the crowd. And you had a brilliant monologue on the pre-match on Friday. And I don't know if we've had that many subscribers, but it felt like 60,000 must have listened to you, Tino. I thought that the full stadium was just all in it together. It was a collective. I totally agree with you. Walking up to the stadium, John and I were kind of saying the same. It was just there's a buzz about the place. Absolutely, it was brilliant. What a good game of football on Saturday, and just exciting.
Definitely. James, something we covered on the post-match, but I want to spend a bit of time, the three of us here, on it. It was a comment that came in from Plunge McNugget. Don't think it's his real name, but you never know. avid follower of the show, and hello to Plunge, and thanks for his comments as always. But he said something along the lines of Saturday was an Ange performance. And I pulled that back, and I understand where he's coming from in terms of the swashbuckling style, the free-flowing football. But I think now is absolutely the time to give Brendan Rodgers his place again and give him the credit he deserves for what he's now producing. You've got a team peaking at the right time of the season. You've also got a stadium full of fans kind of peaking at the same time. And that doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen by magic. The manager does deserve huge credit for what's happening at the moment.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's Rodgers' team. I think it's taken him a long time to get these guys to believe in themselves. That I can see where the guy's coming from in terms of, you know, referring it to an Ange performance, because when Ange as manager for those 2 years, particularly at home, it was confidence, you know, for the full 90 minutes. And you could see that on Saturday, you know, under Rodgers, it was confidence. That's the real similarity between the two. But, you know, I don't think in any way he's saying, you know, Rodgers is then matching up to Ange or anything like that. It's that's his own team. But, you know, I thought it was as enjoyable a game as you'd have seen under Ange. So it's maybe just a comparison rather than a benchmark or anything like that.
Yeah, and confidence is a good word to use, Paddy, because there is just a real confidence now surging through the side in the same way that it did under Ange for the last couple of years. But I've suggested now is the time to put the Ange era in a box, put it behind us and remember it for the brilliant time it was over a couple of seasons. But you now really, you need to get behind the man that's in charge, and certainly by the looks of it for the foreseeable, it's going to be Brendan Rodgers.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from, and I do see Plunge McNugget's point as well. A name I wasn't thinking I would be saying today, but there you go. I feel for me that it does come down to that confidence and what Ange installed in those guys, especially when he started to get his full squad together, was that we're going to beat anyone. And the pressing was kind of a common feature with this starting 11. There's been so many hurdles this season. Without a shadow of a doubt, we've come up against a lot of issues. But that there on Saturday was confidence. That there was a team wanting to play for the jersey. That was a team that was wanting to play for their manager. And yes, the differences are the way Rodgers sets his team up. Really, really nice to see. For me, I think like the overlap seems to be coming back a lot stronger in terms of as getting to the byline. But for me, I thought, after Kyogo, I thought best player in the park again was James Forrest on Saturday. His control, his reading of the game, I mean, that poor right back at Hearts, he had an absolute nightmare.
I thought we used the term maturity to speak about James's performance. I just thought he had a calmness and an assuredness about him, which you can't always attribute that to various wingers, let alone James in his own storied Celtic career so far. But he's don't know if you want to call it an Indian summer or whatever, James, but he's cooking with gas and he's full of confidence. And sometimes, and Miff is a huge fan of James Forrest, and he mentioned that he's not always the man for the Celtic Rangers occasion. There's no one I'd rather have. He's got to be one of the first names in the team sheet for the weekend coming.
Yes, for me. He just seems to have grown into his maturity. Not all players do that. You know, they kind of peter out and they just drift off and they go down to play for Cardiff or whatever it is. But James, he just seems to have grown into it, no bother at all. I thought Saturday was just outstanding. And he was showing physicality. Mm-hmm. He's obviously hit the gym to keep himself fit, to be in contention. You can tell that. He's as fit as he's ever been at Celtic. But that's given him a bit of upper body strength, which is another thing you wouldn't kind of put on James over the years. So he was even using physicality against a big guy, that right back, you know. Lots of new things you're seeing for James. He cannot be anything but a starter on Saturday.
Yeah. Cardiff listeners saying, what are you having a go at us for? What have we done to upset anybody? But I totally agree. James is in great form and I think he's got to be one of the first names down. Paddy, Brendan Rodgers picks up manager of the month for April. Richly deserved, I think. Two league wins over St Mirren and Dundee. A three each draw. I think it was a draw at Ibrox. Somebody might tell me otherwise. And a Scottish Cup semi-final win against Aberdeen. He's, as I say, he's finding form at the right time of the season and it's a well-deserved accolade for him.
It is a great run that we're on just now. And listen, I think the message has been clear from, I'd say, what, maybe the middle of March since we came back from some good results, the international break, and then we've kicked on. It is one game at a time. I still think that's the message. He will have had one eye on this one, but he sat there a very calm, cool, collected guy at the post-match conference on Saturday. And I think like the line of let's have some fun, I just think for me is just like he's got so much confidence in these boys now. And when you hear an atmosphere like that on Saturday, I don't think any teams want to come here.
No.
Do you know who's not cool, calm and collected? Philippe.
Aye.
So keep your powder dry on that. We're going to get to Philippe Clement and the psychological stuff in the next section of the show. But aye, Rodgers seems to have him on toast there. James, I've mentioned the April record that Rodgers has picked up along with the team, of course. But since Hearts won 2-0 at Celtic Park on the 16th of December, we've played 21 games, we've won 17, we've drawn 3 and lost just 1, that Tynecastle game. But that doesn't really count, does it? That was a John Beaton game, so we'll scratch that for the record. But it's a phenomenal record. Celtic have, certainly in the first part of this season, lacked consistency. I remember at one point, there was a ridiculous stat that we hadn't won, was it 3 or maybe 4 games consecutively? We're winning 2, drawing 1 and dropping points here, there and everywhere. Again, I'm repeating myself here, but in this second part of the season, or at least the final third of the season, you found the consistency when you absolutely need it most.
Yeah, I mean, you can look at a lot of the early form stuff. There's the Ange hangover. You've got to, you know, put some credit in that in terms of how much of an impact that is, not just on the team or the management or the fans, everything to do with Celtic, because Ange was such a big personality. So you've got to get past that and move on so you get the hangover out the road. Then Rodgers has got to get his message into these players who aren't, strictly speaking, the players he'd like to have gone into the season with. He'd like to have had a better transfer window. That's another big part of it. But eventually he's got the message through. He's got the guys, you know, playing at their absolute peak. And we're getting the results of that, you know. So it's taken a long time, but we're here now. And, you know, to Miff's ongoing point, it's the right time to come together.
Very much so. The chat, so Brendan Rodgers, it was a kind of an evening with type thing at Celtic Park a couple of weeks ago. None of us were at it, but Mark Donnan, who follows the show, was there. And Mark sent me some kind of different bits and bobs of Rodgers' chat from the night. And one of the things that seems to have come out of it, and it's not hugely controversial, is that he arrived so late in the day that certain transfers were already pretty far down the line and the club slash recruitment team were quite keen to go ahead with them. We obviously had gaps to fill in the squad with positions we needed to bring guys in for. And I think guys like I think Mike Navrocki signed the day after Rodgers, for example, right? So that's already down the line. I think the Lagerbielka was similar. Louis Palmer, for example. These are guys that Rodgers wouldn't necessarily have picked had he had the full say on it. But arriving late, he knows he needs to fill positions. And given a choice of him or nobody, you're probably going to see him, whoever that player may be. And I think it's little wonder, it's clear that maybe half of the summer signings haven't worked out and the other half are still generally up for debate. And I think, you know, hopefully all going well going into summer, it's going to be a completely different picture. But you can see, Paddy, you lean towards it, you can see why there's been bumps in the road and maybe why it's taken us half a season or so to get up to speed given the various issues going on, let alone personnel.
Yeah, I mean, include on top of that the size of the squad as well. You know, players that we've not been able to shift on last summer. Ben Seeger is sitting there. I think he, like some of the other dead that we have, you know, James McCarthy,
Kobayashi,
a lot to kind of, you know, really take in, a lot for him to kind of look at a squad of what we, I think we added a number on every week in the first half of the season.
A 47 man squad.
Aye, 200 men. I think like 34 odd players, and he's going to try and get them all like to buy in after such a successful two seasons with Ange. To then, for all of these guys to basically say, well, I don't know this manager. Obviously, we've got Callum McGregor there. We've got some James Forrest there that I've worked with him before. But there's also the trust that needed to be rebuilt as well. So it speaks volumes in terms of, like, yes, it is coming at the right time. Add that on top of everything that's happened in the first half of the season, what we've come up against. I just think it's a very, very strong effort from Rodgers. It's a steady season. We know that the football's not been great, but if we go and we lift these two trophies, he'll be gunning for next season. He'll be relishing it so much. And I just think that the guy knows. He's probably had a look at what Ange had to do when he came in. I think a lot of the planning, a lot of the signing, and a lot of basically everything that was operating at the club under Ange Postecoglou was done by himself and his backroom team. Rodgers will be looking at it the same now, in my opinion.
So this is a kind of a direct plea to Michael Nicholson, I would say, is, you know, that's still going on.
Yeah.
And this, you know, we're going back years when it needed to be fixed. If Celtic are making changes behind the scenes, structural changes, let us know, because it is a big impact on how you're going to feel going into the close season and the new season. If there's no structural change, I'm maintaining I'm not renewing my season ticket. So if you are doing it, please come and tell us. The renewals are out. I'd like to renew, but I'll not be doing it unless you tell me there's good news.
And that's interesting because, yeah, you're right, we're bang in renewal time and fans want to get excited, but you just want to, I mean, part of me, I don't know if it's the right term, but you want to be kind of taking on the journey with the club. You know, here's the plan, here's the vision, here's some of the things we're doing, and, you know, maybe get you more excited about what lies in store and what the ambitions are of the club. But we'll get to that. We'll cover a wee bit of that towards the end of the show. I'm just thinking, Paddy, as you're talking about, you know, Rodgers has had to come in and address a full squad of Ange players. You know, most of these guys were brought in through Ange. Obviously, Calmack and various others were already in the building, but a lot of the guys in front of him will have been Ange Postecoglou signings. And he said to say, I know you've won 5 trophies in 2 seasons. Great stuff, but we're going to now do it this way. And that's a hard sell. I think that's a tough one. I think in similar-ish ways of the Damned United, you know, the Brian Clough thing, where he went into Leeds United and said, listen, I know you won the league there last year. Put your medals in the bin. They're not worth anything. You want it playing dirty football, the wrong type of football. I think he lasted 42 days. So it's not quite that extreme, but it is hard to get into a dressing room of winners and say, I know you're winners. I'll make you a different type of winner. It's a tough sell.
I mean, the comments down south are that Klopp's actually doing Arne Slot a favour by not winning the league this year, because he's not then having to take something from the top and go higher, you know?
Yeah, it's easy to go up the way. Paddy, Brendan Rodgers' Scottish Cup record, it's a perfect record. It's well spoken about. He's never lost a game. Do you know what his record is? How many from how many?
Let me calculate
some,
that one.
Some maths.
17? 16.
I'll give you. You weren't expecting to use the name Plunge McNugget or do any maths.
No, right?
You've now done both. So 16 wins from 16 after that. One in the semi against Aberdeen. Scoring 56 goals and conceding just 9. It just bears well, James, there's a psychological element in football, and we're going to get to that in the next section, but it's important for the players to know that the man at the top giving them the message, he himself is a winner, and that in itself, you know, sets a good tone for them.
Yeah, and I don't know how hard it would have been for players to look at Rodgers and not see a winner there. You know, it's serial over his career, particularly at us, and even more particularly in the Scottish Cup. So, I think he always comes across as is very calm, very measured, but very driven as well. You know, very ambitious and very driven. So I don't think getting the players behind him is the real problem. It's more just a change in message, change in style.
Yeah. I didn't see this. I'm going to ask if you lads did. So we've spoken on the post-match, and I was just getting on about it on Saturday night when we were out about Callum McGregor's tackle, 55 minutes or so on the clock. And the reception he got from the crowd, what a roar that went up. It was great to see, because it kind of signalled the official return of Callum McGregor and that type of thing. But apparently Rodgers was going nuts in the sideline. Have any of you caught it?
No. I'm still to see it, but it was a couple of boys that I go to the games with, they were telling me from their seat they'd seen him, and it was almost like Jose in the touchline celebration. Yes. He was just over the moon, like, as in, like, that's why he's playing, you know. Yeah. And I think everyone, including our manager and our coaching staff, would have felt delighted at that. I have to say, still working towards it. I still thought he looked a little bit laboured at points. But my God, I said it to Johnny, he needed that tackle. Yeah. He needed that, because that's the belief in himself. And he knows, McGregor knows himself better than anyone. That's huge. Yeah. That tackle is huge. The confidence he'll take for that going into next week will be massive for us.
It was a big moment for him. I'm sure the player himself got a lift, and it's good to hear that Brendan Rodgers is equally excited as I am about the tackle. Just a last point before we take the break. What is clear, James, and it ties in with the manager of the month stuff, is there's a real united front behind the scenes. I think Brendan Rodgers get everyone in their dugout for the photo. You know, it was the chefs and the staff and the security and all that stuff at Lennox Town. Stevie the Kitman, kind of on the right hand side somewhere.
He was one step ahead of him, actually. I clocked that.
Overstepping the mark again. But there's a good quote that kind of signifies the unity that's there across the board. So Brendan Rodgers speaking after the game, he says, "I thought Kyogo was better today in his movement. Really bright for his first goal, then his second goal, what a finish. I thought we were really good set piece-wise as well today. Big credit to Gavin Strachan and Greg Wallace, who look at that side of it really closely." So the big question is, Paddy, who the f*** is Greg Wallace?
Chef guy. The guy from MasterChef, aye.
I've actually looked into it, but I had no idea when I read the quote. I thought, they've got that wrong. Apparently he's a video analyst who's been there since the Lenny days, so he goes back a couple of coaches now. So he must be doing a decent job, and fair enough, but... In all seriousness, there is a united front, whether it's... There's so many people that make Celtic work, particularly at Lennox Town in terms of the football department. But from Rodgers throughout his coaches into the team, we're all shooting in the same direction, aren't we?
Yeah, I think, as we've said, he seems to have just rallied the troops for the last run-in of this season. And, I mean, as I said, the football's not been pretty at times, but you just have to win at this part, at the business end, as we've said. And I think that... The confidence that team will have taken for the performance on Saturday going into next week, they'll not take it lightly, we know that, but I just think it'll be a calm place, Lennox Town. It'll be a really calm place, whereas I don't think it's the same across the way.
Yeah, and Joe Hart said the players absolutely felt the lift from the atmosphere in the stadium. As mentioned, myself and James done the post-match after Hart, so that full show is now available wherever you get your podcasts or on the Celtic Exchange YouTube channel. Coming up this week, we're going to do the preview, the countdown to kickoff show on Thursday at 7, so that'll go out as a live on YouTube. You'll catch the updates and the links for it on our social media channels, and that's, of course, ahead of Celtic Rangers on Saturday, kickoff 12:30 at Celtic Park. Sunday is when we'll do the post-match. Saturday's going to be busy, stuff going on after the game, but we're going to do the post-match at 12 noon on Sunday. So that's the final whistle show, and we'll cover all the action from the big game. As always, all our shows are available wherever you get your podcasts, so make sure to follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That way, you won't miss a single episode. Similarly, if you prefer to watch your content on YouTube, then be sure to subscribe to the Celtic Exchange channel there for the very same reason. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll take a look at the psychological advantage that Celtic now hold ahead of this week's Glasgow derby.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
Welcome back, folks. We'll be bringing you our full countdown to kickoff show on Thursday night, as mentioned, previewing the big game at 7 p.m. But before that, I want to look at the psychology that surrounds that fixture and what looks to be a clear advantage in Celtic's favour. I'm going to give you another quote from Brendan Rodgers at the moment. He said, 80% of it is now mentality. Physically, we're in a really good place. This stage, it's all about mentality. Take nothing for granted. Keep our composure. We'll have a lot of work to do in the week ahead as we get our plan ready. And then next Saturday, we can have a bit of fun. Paddy, it's ruffled a few feathers, eh?
It has. But listen, it's on the back of the fact that in every game we've played them this season, we're unbeaten. And I have to say, the only time we've really looked uncomfortable was maybe the game at Ibrox in the first half of the season. There was a few slack points. We weren't at our full strength. Other than that, I think back to the 45 minutes at Ibrox last month, we should have been out of sight. And again, it comes down to those little moments of game management, which I think we'll hopefully try and put behind us for this run-in. We know how to beat them. Simple as that. And that is where the mentality side comes in. And when you have got your best players playing at their highest level, we will beat them.
James, what do you think about Roger's comments and also how your old pal Philippe Clement has responded?
It's just rank amateurism. You don't bite on that. Because Roger's point wasn't to Rangers or about Rangers or Clement or his players or anything like that. He was just saying, my take on Roger's comments were that it's been so much hard work put in by the Celtic players to get to this stage. Now the pressure of all that goes away and you're in the game itself and you can enjoy it and you can have fun. His interview on Sky, he wasn't directly asked about that. He brought it into the conversation. It's madness, honestly. You're just saying, you're under my skin and you don't do that. It's a real inexperience or just idiocy. You know, even the Rangers fans know that.
Can you remember the picture of him when he gets sent off in the mid-season friendly?
It's coming back.
That'll be him at Lennox Town this week. Hey, Brendan.
Behind the fence. Paddy, he's taken the bait right, left and centre, you know, in the last few weeks. And yeah, I'm not sure whether the question was put to him or if he's come up with it himself. But he's basically labelled it as disrespectful from Brendan Rodgers. And he's ended up a wee bit kind of spiky. He's certainly not relaxed. We spoke, James, about Brendan Rodgers' body language and how he is in pre and post match conferences just now. He's relaxed, he's calm, he's confident, he's just in a good place. And I think players feed off of that, Paddy. You know, I don't think there's any doubt that most players will watch their manager's press conference. You want to hear what he's saying maybe about you personally, what he's saying about the group. So they'll tune into these things. So Celtic players will watch a manager full of confidence, and rightly so. And Rangers players will watch that and go, I'm not entirely sure where the boss is here. It's just very conflicting messages.
The fact that, you know, I don't think Rodgers at all on Saturday really get into the point of talking much about Rangers. The fact that he's clearly watching press conferences of us and listening to everything that's going on here. Advantage Celtic, in my opinion, straight away. He's digging himself a bit of a hole. Because he's coming away about, you know, I heard a comment from that same press conference, the same sentence actually. We're about 8 points behind now, we're 3 points behind. You also blew a lead.
Yeah, forgot to mention that.
Psychologically, have you got it? Have the guys got it to go and do it? I said not that long ago, it's ours if we want it. And for me on Saturday, that looked like a team that wanted to go and win both trophies.
It really does. James, this whole nonsense is what you'd call it from Philippe Clement. It's actually now been about 3 or 4 weeks in the making, isn't it? It's got gradually worse. When he came in, we've seen the cycle before. New manager comes in for Rangers, wins a number of games, makes an arse against Celtic, starts talking nonsense, gets sacked. It's kind of something along those lines. And I think Philippe Clement is banging the cycle. He's playing his part. Oh, is this how it goes? And this is a bit of talk nonsense that. Because he has now done it for several weeks and you can pick out 3 or 4 examples of just Havern. I don't know if Havern is a word in Belgium, but he's doing it, isn't he?
Waffling.
Oh, that's clever.
He's got the same record as Beale, you know, or give or take. So it's not like he's streets ahead or anything like that. When anyone starts looking at, you know, selective stats, you know, we won these 3 games in a row or we've had more points than them in a select window, you don't play a season of football over a select window. You play it over the season and we're top of the league for a reason. So it just... It's not someone you would fall into battle, that kind of behaviour.
Paddy, there was chat last week. So Celtic won their game last weekend 2-1. Rangers won their game in the afternoon 2-1. And he was saying, I'm certainly paraphrasing here, but basically saying that their 2-1 win was better than our 2-1 win. I think he was referencing XG and things like that. Mm-hmm. That is not a man who is cool, calm and in full control. He's on the back foot just now. He's on the defensive. And as I say, I think that gets through to your players.
No, I think, yeah, I totally agree with you. And again, I'll go back to what I say. That's not someone that's taking it a game at a time. That's someone that's looking at this game and worrying.
He's also looking back the way. You know, he's instead of looking forward, focusing here now, he's getting a wee bit spiky about things past. So anyway, good enough for him. Michael Stewart, you might have seen some headlines just in the last day or so. He suggested, James, that the 3-3 draw was the very moment that momentum swung back into Celtic's favour. You actually pinpoint it more specifically to the moment they decided to do a victory lap of honour for a game that they had just drawn. It's proven to be a telling moment. They then went on to lose to Ross County and draw at Dundee in the next two games.
Look at that post-match of ours on Saturday when the players were going round the pitch. You know, we just had a big win, a big statement win going into a derby. But the players were just appreciating the fans and thanks for the support. It wasn't, you know, like they were at Ibrox. It was so, so bad. I mean, the very moment I saw it, that's the moment I thought we were going to win the league. And I maintain that.
They were one step away from putting the scarves around their head, honestly. Like, it was... it was
getting the wains of it.
Lap of honour. Oh, it was embarrassing. It was... I think for us, though, listen, we feel as fans, we've been very, very fortunate. We've been very... well, not fortunate. We've been blessed with what we've seen over the last 12 seasons for Celtic. And I think that we know where we are as a club coming into this running, that it's looking good, but take nothing for granted. Absolutely take nothing for granted. Football, some games sometimes. I just believe in these players and I believe in this manager that he just knows what it takes to get it over the line. I really do.
The very phrase, Paddy, is in the quote from Brendan Rodgers, take nothing for granted, keep our composure. I think he's all over the right type of messaging. I just wonder, James, from a Rangers player's point of view, just to go back to that lap of honour again because I enjoy it. Do you think they went into training on Monday, you know, that they'll have the giddiness, right, of salvaging a draw or a moral victory or whatever they want to call it. Do you think they went into training on Monday a bit sheepish, like, ooh, I've seen the footies, I was actually running about daft celebrating that. Do you think they themselves in hindsight thought, that's not quite the right move?
I think you're crediting with a level of introspection that they don't possess. I think there's an arrogance about them. For why, I do not know, because we're the ones that have gone course and distance for so long. You can tell when they're talking in post-match interviews, you know, Tavernier and the rest of them, Cantwell, whoever can hang, they've got that overconfident arrogance and they don't have the numbers to back it up. So
you speak about Todd Cantwell. Paddy, I was going to ask the question. It's quite clear to me that Brendan Rodgers is in their heads in terms of off the park and what Celtic are doing, at least of all their manager, but certainly their fan base have been riled by some of Rodgers' comments. And I think likewise, Callum McGregor is in their players' heads. Todd Cantwell was out a couple of weeks ago saying he wants to win the title more than Callum McGregor and all these things. Do you think they're really riled? I was listening to the radio yesterday afternoon and I heard Stuart McCall basically saying something like somebody needs to go and do Callum McGregor. I would dig it out, it's very close to that. Say somebody needs to go and, you know, sort him out or words to that effect. It's all well and good putting that out as a statement, although the game has changed a lot since Stuart McCall has played. You can't quite put down the marker in the same way that Barry Robson done on Christian Daly, for example. But also, you need to have somebody that's capable of doing it, and I don't think Rangers have got that guy in their locker.
You're spot on. I think every game we've played against them this season, that's been the plan. And you've got, I think the one that they expect to go and do that is Lundstrom, and he can't get anywhere near him. He's probably one of his best chances this weekend with McGregor not being fully fit. But it doesn't worry me. It doesn't worry me because at the same time, if you're putting two players on Callum McGregor, who's watching Rio Hatate? Who's watching Matt O'Reilly? Celtic will run over them. I know I sound too confident here. I think we'll run over them on Saturday. I really do.
I think there's one thing being confident in what's going on, and there's momentum in Celtic's favour in terms of, I've mentioned the record over the last 21 games, for example. We're just, on paper, you don't need to be a fan to see that we're just in a strong vein of form. We're just in really confident mode and we're taking care of business as we go. But more specifically, if you want to look at the stats against Rangers in recent times, obviously this season we've played three times, we've won two of them and drawn once. But they've won just once in the last 13 games against us, and it was last season's dead rubber.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important, Paddy, because more or less the same players will be playing. You know, there'll be some tweaks here and there, but they turn up against Celtic and generally don't win, whereas our guys, you know, over the last 12, 13 games generally turn up and do win when it matters. And I think that plays its part. You know, you'll hear the cliche, the form book goes out the window. I guarantee you'll hear it and read it this week. You'll hear Ian Crocker and other guys saying it on Derby Day and all that stuff. But it's true. Players are well aware of who their challenges and struggles are with. And these Rangers players know that, certainly in recent history, they've struggled with this fixture.
They have. And I think, like, when you go into a game like this on Saturday as well, it also kind of comes down to they've got a big decision to make. They've got a big decision to make about how they approach this game. They're not going to come and play football against us. They'll try and launch it long, as they do. But are they going to sit in and try and contain us? That's what I want to know. I think they need to go for it. They're 3 points behind. And they need to, if they go and try and win the game, they're looking to try and bring that goal difference down as well. Celtic, on the other hand, will go for it. We know that. That's the only way we know. And I just think that will be too much for them.
It is really interesting, James, from a tactical point of view, that a draw is not really any use to them, is it? No. So at some point, that this is a question for Philippe Clement. Does he sit tight and look to get a foothold in the game? Do you want to try and be level after the break, something like that, and then maybe, you know, have a good go at it later on in the game? How do you see them approaching it? And, you know, each and every approach that any manager takes comes with its risks. But I think there's real... I mean, it's the biggest risk of all. If you go and blow this one, it's all over from a Rangers point of view.
It'll be the same as, you know, they're very one-dimensional. It'll be long balls just shelled into the box, and then the ricochets that come off that, going for second balls and trying to win fouls around the box. That's their tactic. That's all they have. And I mean against Kilmarnock. Mm-hmm. You know, until Kilmarnock went down to 10 men, strangely, that's all they were doing. Industrial football. So I think you're right. There's no sense in a draw, so they have to come out. And that's leaving space at the back for us. So everything points to an enjoyable day, but football's football, so we need to keep our feet in the ground.
That's true. Do Celtic's players have a psychological edge going into this game? And as I say, it's similar to the point I made to Pad there. There's so many guys in our dressing room that know how to navigate this fixture. I was looking at Celtic's lineup last weekend, and Nicholas Coon was the only new signing in it. You know, James Forrest, obviously, you know, back in the fold. And I think at the weekend there, the same would apply, wouldn't it? You know, the starting 11 against Hearts, it's not development players, it's not experimental players. Yang is out the picture all of a sudden, and probably rightly so. O has been deemed not good enough. We've mentioned guys like Kobayashi. Brendan Rodgers, there's no doubt, James, he'll have plans already in place for what he's going to do in the summer. Goalkeeper to start with, and everything else that goes from there. But what he does have available now is... his strongest squad. He's got a fully fit squad, but he also knows exactly who he can trust, and he'll probably know the team right now. It might well be the same team, but Maeda and for
Coon.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it. That would be the changes. He knows who he'll keep in reserve, Adam Eda, and the impact he can have. But the bottom line is, the 11 players that will line up for Celtic have all beaten Rangers in the past. They all know how to do it, whereas you've got a Rangers side out of sorts, centre half issues by the looks of it, left back issues and confidence issues. So do you feel that we'll have the psychological edge out with anything ability-wise?
I think we've had that all season. You can see that from the games we've played against them. But it's now in their heads that they, like you say, they struggle with this fixture. And added to that, it's a must-win game. And they don't cope with pressure. They never cope with pressure. You know, real kind of pressure games over the last, you know, number of years, they don't win them. So add all that together, and our players, being so as experienced as they are, we should be going into it in our usual calm, controlled manner, and I think we'll win out.
Paddy, we had the debate over the last couple of weeks about Callum McGregor and his readiness for such a fixture and his availability. I suggested it might have been an idea to start Iwata at the weekend and bring Callum McGregor into the fray later on just to work on his recovery. But it's clear now he will definitely start against Rangers. He got 89 minutes at the weekend. I think they've just taken him off for the applause, or, you know, played clever by that one. I think he'll now start, and I think the leadership in such a game can't be underestimated, and he'll be ably supported by Joe Hart at the very back, Cameron Carter-Vickers in front of him, and then Callum McGregor taking the lead from there.
Yeah, I think it's huge if he starts for us on Saturday. And listen, if it's a busy game, which I think it will be, I think it'll be some hard tackles going in on Saturday. I really do. I think both teams will be up for it though, but as I said, those guys showed on Saturday that they'll get stuck in if they need to. It was something I hadn't really seen from the likes of Hitati or Kyogo. It was great to see. McGregor just brings so much. He brings so much calm. And I think the weight was probably lifted off a lot of the players' shoulders when we get comments like that from a manager about, let's go and have some fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that is massive for us, and I think it's massive for the preparation going into next week.
I think it's just massive for the headspace of the players and where they're at. You know, just I speak a lot about how players are feeling the week up to a game and how they're feeling at Lennox Town, and it's directly impacted as a result of what happened the weekend past and what comments have been doing the rounds. And I just think the mood in the camp will be good. If Celtic fail to get the right result on Saturday, it won't be for lack of prep and lack of being in a good place at this moment in time. Interesting stat the weekend was that it was the first time all season that Kyogo's scored two or more goals in a game. I couldn't believe that. It's just single goals right throughout the campaign. Repeating myself again seems to be my thing at this moment in time, but that now is the time to do it. Find your form. People were saying he's not scored an away goal, I think, since October. I couldn't care less if he never scores an away goal again. If he scores the big goals in the home games that go and win your league titles, and Saturday very much falls into that bracket. We've had the debate about Adam Eder versus Kyogo, you know, different guys for different games. Kyogo is absolutely the man, least of all for the fact that they are absolutely terrified by him.
It's certainly true. I was looking at it going to be Balogun as a centre half player. He looks like he's picked up a knock yesterday, and I was just looking forward to Kyogo against him. I think Balogun's a decent defender, but maybe more in the Liam Scales mold. He doesn't like players running at him, doesn't like balls at feet, and that's what Kyogo would have, just terrorising with that. So I don't know who he's going to be up against, but he's going to have a fun day.
Yeah, I think so. Last one, Paddy, before we take the break. I'm pretty sure you sit quite far away from us at the game, but I'm pretty sure I heard you screaming, giddy with excitement, as Dyson Maeda took to the pitch around about the 72nd minute, I think it was. What a boost. I've got a decent quote here, actually, from Joe Hart. So he was talking about the impact when they heard he wasn't going to be fit for the rest of the campaign. Let me see. Yep. So Joe Hart says, I'm not going to lie, it was tough as a squad when we got the news. We thought he was going to miss the rest of the season. And the opposite then applies. When you hear that the miracle man is back in the fold 2 weeks after being ruled out, I just think Celtic don't need boosts at this moment in time. They're in a good place, but they got a very welcome boost. And when he came on Saturday, the roof nearly came off the place. I don't have the quote now in front of me, but he tweeted as well saying how much he feels loved and appreciated. And I think that's just, it's a boost we've never seen coming, but it's massive going into Saturday.
It's huge. And I think, listen, we go back to some of the frustrating points in Maeda that we've had in his career. And, you know, if he was a technically gifted footballer, he would never be at Celtic with that pace. I think he would be playing at a really high level. He brings us so much, though. And I think that what we have realised is some of the games that how much we've missed him, how important he was coming back in January. And he's actually played such a huge part in this run-in for us that I think that, again, another player getting that reception, seeing how much the fans love you, that takes pressure off your shoulders straight away again. And as you guys have said, as I thought might have been the case on Saturday, him and Nicholas Coon have got to be your starters. I think that you'll see, him and James Forrest have got to be your starters. I think you'll see Nicholas Coon come into the game later on. And Louis Palmer, I thought he'd done okay. He played a brilliant ball through for Farida at one point. It was an unfortunate touch for the big man. But I just think that the pressure's off the two wingers. Mm-hmm. And you look at who they're up against. For me, it's Dyson Maeda's favourite. On Saturday, and James Forrest, whether it's Sterling, who will give him a good game, but you talk about the physicality, James, and I think that James Forrest will relish that challenge as well if it's going to be Sterling, and I think they will go to Sterling because Barris just didn't look up to much again yesterday.
Yes. It's very choppy change, isn't it?
That's what we want, that's what we need.
It's huge calls for them to make, but no, Dyson Maeda, an incredible character, and him and Jamesy in really good form and full of confidence going into this one. Let's take another short break. When we come back, we'll bring you the latest instalment of The Mystery Voice.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome back, folks. Last week's Mystery Voice was quite a tricky one. Do you remember who it was? Were you here, Paddy?
I was here.
I'm losing track. I'm getting excited. Title fever. Do you remember who it was last week?
Was it Harold last week? Or
who?
Harold last week.
Harold Bradford. It was two weeks ago.
We Caramoco.
Caramoco Dembele. So Caramoco Dembele joined Celtic as a 10-year-old in 2013, made his debut for the under-20s when he was 13 years of age. So he's playing against 19 and 20-year-olds at 13, which is mad. Then made his senior debut against Hearts in May 2019. Over the piece, though, you know, we've seen some bits of him and some of the potential he may have had, but it just didn't work out at Celtic over his time here. He left on a free transfer in summer 22 when he joined Brest in League One in France. He then spent last season on loan at Blackpool. You'll have seen some of the headlines doing the rounds. He seems to be getting back towards fulfilling that potential, and he picked up several Player of the Year awards. He's represented both Scotland and England at youth level, and very much remains to be seen what he becomes as a footballer. But unfortunately, it's not going to be at Celtic. Paddy, your thoughts on Caramoco and his time here?
Yeah, again, I had high hopes. You know, the chat was he was looking like as he was going to be a world beater, and I feel sorry for him. I think, you know, maybe the opportunities of him coming into the first team and really staking a claim also came around a really poor season for us. And I think that the opportunities under Ange were not going to materialise as well, just because of how important that first season was as well. Has he got it in his locker? I think he does. I think he is going to go to another level as well. And I wish him all the best. I really do. I think the chat I heard as well, it was never Dembele's intention to leave. I think he wanted to stay, but they were just worried that it wasn't going to be something they were going to like put a lot of time and effort in, which sounds very Celtic sometimes, but I wish him all the best, and I think a good season down in Blackpool. And I've heard a few Premier League teams have been sniffing at him now as well. So see what happens.
It's hard, not speaking from experience here, it's hard when you're a wonder kid. Never had to deal with that.
You sound as if you're trying to speak for experience.
But when you're a young guy with all that talent and all that expectation on your shoulders from a very, very young age. I've mentioned before here, and you lads know, I worked at Celtic for a few years from 2012 onwards. And not long after I started, I've mentioned Caramoco joined the club at 2013. There's two coaches at Celtic. One of them is still there, a guy called Willie McNabb, and Greg Robertson, who's been on the show here. He's now a coach out in Boston in the States. And they both spoke to me at the time, and they said, you need to see this kid that's part of the setup. And at the time, he must have been 10, 11, maybe going on 12 years of age. They were so excited about him. And these guys have worked with, you know, the KTs and the Callum McGregors and the James Forrest and all these other guys coming through. And they were just blown away by this boy. They said he was just the best young talent they'd ever seen. And there was such high hopes for such a long time. You know, at some point, you know, beyond his debut for the 20s, you then start to hear about him just, you know, from a fan base point of view, and you get excited. You hear you've got this superstar in your ranks. He was doing adverts for, I can't remember if it was Nike or Adidas, like when he was 15 and all that stuff. They clearly seen him as a talent. Who was it, the American kid? Was it Freddie Adu? Similar type of thing.
Yep.
And that's why it was just so disappointing that it never quite worked out. James, he featured a bit for Lenny. He was on the bench when we won the double treble, I think, against Hearts. Odson Edwards scored a couple of goals that day, and I think Dembele got his place on the back of coming off the bench the week prior. But then it's just fits and starts, reappearances there. Physicality will have gone against him. You know, people will point towards Lionel Messi and say, you don't need to be a big guy, but he's a particularly small player, and I wonder if that's just hampered him at different times. But it's a shame not to have seen him come through, isn't it?
Oh, big time. You know, for all the time, you'll have mentioned him to me, you know, through Robbo and stuff. So you're watching for this kid coming through. I think there's a bit of a sliding doors moment in Ange's first pre-season when he gets, it's a horrendous challenge from a guy in Bristol City,
yeah,
right?
It was that or Sheffield Wednesday, but it was that time.
It was Bristol City. And it was a shocking challenge in any game, but in a friendly. And he was out for maybe the first 3-4 months of Ange's tenure. And if not for that, you don't know. You know, it could have been something else. And I was just, I watched that game live and I was disgusted by it, you know. And it's a wee bit of like, look at the size of you, you know, against a wee guy like that in a pre-season friendly. Just disgusting stuff. So who knows what could have been. But, you know, I really hope we see him and, you know, see him kicking on. Just, there was a report today, having done well at Blackpool. Is he going back to Brest? Is that the story?
He's on loan, yeah.
And where are Brest in terms of finishing in France?
Don't know. I think wasn't expecting that one, Paddy.
I think they might have been up there. Because there's talk, the headline, only caught the headline, it was like, you know, Dembele looked to be playing Champions League football next season. Maybe that's a transfer rumour kind of thing, but I really hope he makes it anyway.
I suppose it just highlights the fact that football, since day dot, is full of sliding door moments for players. You know, you get your lucky break if someone gets injured, or you get that move, and footballers the world over will realise that one manager could think you're the best thing since sliced bread, and another guy just doesn't rate you. That's how football goes. And unfortunately, for Karamoko, it's not worked out, but he's having a good time.
They're third.
Aye,
so that's their third League One. Mm-hmm. Okay, so maybe he'll return there, but it looks like he's been touted for a move, doesn't it? Anyway, let's move on. Let's take a listen at this week's Mystery Voice.
I was hung up a great cross, and I found myself in the position and was able to just put it in, you know, and it was quite, it was carnage after that. But again, great memories that'll live me forever.
Any ideas?
I mean, it sounds like goal, but it's not.
Paddy?
Play it again.
You've got a lot of interference there.
That just adds to the mystery. Aye. Makes it tougher for these. It's one of those ones where you'll either get it right away or not. I'll give you one last crack at it.
Tom's hung up a great cross, and I found myself in the position and was able to just put it in, you know, and it was quite, it was carnage after that. But again, great memories that'll live me forever.
It's a ball from Tom Rogic. Who's the main Scottish
player?
Keep
in mind, Tom Rogic was there for about 10 years. Anything? Want to throw some names at me?
No.
No? Nothing?
Don't have any names.
Make a fool of yourself, just random figures. Unlucky lads. Mm-hmm. Looks like we'll need to chalk it down as another one for myself. But
can you tell us and we can be put?
I can tell you that he's already been mentioned in the last 30 seconds.
Can I walk with the belly?
No. The other one. Correct.
Aye. Right. You tried to get away with it, eh?
As always, we'll reveal the answer in next week's show, and we'll also reshare the clip on the socials for anyone who wants to have a go at home. Paddy, just to see out the show, we've mentioned that a wee bit earlier on in the piece about season ticket renewals coming out this week, and I think you're quite keen to kind of cover a couple of points on it. Most of all, the increase, so I think the general chat is it's a 3% increase more or less across the board. What's your thoughts on that at this moment in time?
Listen, I'm not going down the negative route as much as I have this season with certain things with the board. My thoughts on it are is we've just after posting not that long ago how much we've got sitting in the bank at the moment. And I know that money's not all going to go on players. I know we've got the running of a football club, we've got the wages, we've got the stadium, we've got our new training facilities coming, and I get that. My big question is that we are on the brink of potentially winning the league, bringing us back into the Champions League. We've got some really, really good players that we're probably going to make some good money on as well. And we speak about the Jeremy Frimpong clause, whether he leaves next season is another story on that. I'm just a bit miffed about where they think this is the right thing to do. And it's more down to the fact of such a poor transfer window there in January. Again, we've spoke about for a long time the transparency that we're getting from the board. A statement from a chairman and a statement for a CEO just saying, oh, it's a difficult time to sign players, just doesn't cut it for me. Does not cut it. It sounds like poor planning. Sounds like waiting for players to say, right, listen, this move's not going to happen to you, to a bigger club, come and sign for us. I know there's a lot of that in it, but why not go and sell the club to them? Why are we not doing that? I get that there'll be many people that if they are listening will turn around and say to me, well, this is actually how we do it. Come and tell us. Mm. Come and tell us. It's the transparency thing. If my club was able to come out and say, here's what we're operating, how we are operating, here's how we are pushing to get players in, tie players down in contracts, and this is where your money is going, I would totally understand it a lot more. But 3%, I just think, what for? They take a lot of money from the support already. They're in a kit deal with Adidas, which is 4 kits a season. So you think about kitting out your full family. They've got avid followers following them everywhere across Europe. You're talking thousands that goes in to following Celtic each year. And I just think it was a bit of a slap in the face to put the price up this year.
And there's a tour in America which will bring out, you know, plenty of funds from fans across the globe. It is a tricky one, James. So you've, as much as Celtic obviously founded on charitable roots, and as much as we'd like to point back towards, you know, what would Brother Wilfred think of all this, you know, you see and hear things like that at different times. we're a commercial enterprise. It's business at the end of the day for Celtic, as much as that jars with us as fans, because we're just in it for the football and the love of the whole thing. But I suppose, just to play devil's advocate slightly, should you only increase ticket prices when you've had a great summer transfer window and signed some really good players? Or how do you play that as a club? What would you like to see happen in terms of how they play this?
If you look at the German model and they keep their season ticket prices low, and I'm not asking for that, but they keep their season prices low because they've got a huge TV deal, right? So yeah. for other financial reasons, other financial income, they're allowed to, you know, look after their fans in that way. Celtic could look at the overall financial position and health of the club, and you can't, I suppose, factor in potentially 50 million Champions League, because you've not won the league yet when you bring your renewals out. If you put it all together and say we've got a lot of money, we're going to get more money, we're going to get 25 million for O'Reilly, all this kind of stuff, do you need to? And is it a time when the fans have backed you and you've not really played your part as the board? Could you give a could you get some feel-good PR from it, from not taking that 3%? Most of the boys I talked to on Saturday, by the way, were going from 680 to 750, so no 3%. You know, well over 10.
So, listen, it's a range. It is a range. Yeah. And for example, the way my ticket's working out next season, I'm £38 a ticket. £38 a ticket. I'd be better. Aye, per game. Yep. Aye. I'd be better. They've also, by the way, quietly taken away the two pre-season friendlies from last season as well. So you really need to kind of look at what we're getting back. I get that the club needs to make money back from what happened in COVID. But look at the amount of people that renewed their ticket during that time.
You were going to suggest there, I think, that you'd be as well just buying match tickets throughout the season, you know, as and when available, because the reward should be, I'm going to commit to these 19 home league games and a couple of others.
A bulk price.
In the summer for you. I'm going to give you the money up front. Mm-hmm. You need to give me at least a 2 or 3 tickets worth off of that. You know, take £38 times 2 or 3 off of that. Celtic don't seem to be doing that now. They're just giving you the same thing, and that kind of defeats the purpose, I suppose. They've got you over a barrel, though, because what it does do is it absolutely secures your tickets for games like Saturday coming. And some fans wouldn't take the risk of not getting to these games. So to James's point, Paddy, you'd maybe just like to see a wee bit more of when they sit down and have this discussion, which they'll have had a few months ago now, about season ticket renewal prices. One of the first questions should be, do we need to do it this season? Do we need to increase it? And in a time where Celtic are as rich as they've ever been, in the whole history, what is it, 136 years of Celtic, this is the richest we've ever been as a club. And again, they just crank up the pressure on the fans. There's a lot of people who leave themselves with not a lot at the end of the month so that they can go and support Celtic. You mentioned the kit stuff, Paddy, and you know, folks buying for their kids and different things and going all out to make sure they can afford the season ticket for them and their family, which might well be continuing our tradition that their dad did the ticket, all these kind of things. Fans really go the extra mile, and you just wonder if sometimes Celtic should just reward that. And we understand it's a business. I think we can all accept that it's business, but do you need to do it? And if you need to put it up slightly, can it be closer to 1 and 2% than 3, 4, 5%?
But I just even think on that as well. I mean, if it is an average 3%, what is that bringing in total? You know, what's the difference? What's that huge? Is it what, an extra couple of million tops? Mm. What's huge on that? Like for Celtic, what is the reason for that? That transparency is just not there. That liaison between the board and the supporters is really, really fragile. And I think that they really need to work on that. If they turn around and say energy cost increases, wage increases, cost of living increases, and come out and explain where the money is going, absolutely fine. I understand it. I'm part of it. I know that I've got a really good friend that works with the club. I understand it's people's livelihoods. I'm all about that. But we get nothing from the board explaining what they're doing and why they're doing it. And that's the frustrating bit.
It's an interesting one. And I'd be really keen to hear any kind of listeners' thoughts, anyone watching or listening to the show, in terms of where they're at in the renewals, how they feel about the increase in costs. And we'll keep a close eye on it. We'll kind of share these kind of things across our socials, and we'll see how it plays out in the coming weeks. I'd be very interested to hear if the vast majority are keen to renew. Nothing else sounds like winning. So when Celtic are winning trophies and we're on the cusp of something, which could be pretty special in terms of the end of the season, that's kind of how it works. So I don't know, you'd maybe want a wee bit more come and go from the club, but you'd at least want a wee bit more communication. I think we could all accept that's something that could be done.
But that is the point. You know, they know, yeah, even losing, your most fans are going to renew. So winning, you know, the majority will definitely renew. But there's just an opportunity there to say, right, that PR, you know, the relationship between the board and the fan base is as poor as it's been for a long, long time, given their recent nonsense. There's a chance to win some of that back. And of course it comes with a price, but you know, if you froze the season ticket price money, you are not running at a loss by any stretch of the imagination. You get the Champions League money coming, or Europa, whatever it may be. There's plenty of money swimming around. So I'd like to have seen the P&L sheet on it to see, was it strictly necessary? Show me the difference between that one and that one. Mm-hmm. Was it strictly necessary? And like I'm saying, you can't really factor in the Champions League money, but if that is, it just makes it look ridiculous. If you get an extra 50 million coming on top of that, and 25 million for O'Reilly, and maybe Frimpong money, it's unnecessary, and it's a really cheap win to win back your PR with the fan base.
There's every chance Celtic will announce bankroll of over 100 million in the next financial statements, which is just mad when you think about it. So, you know, what difference an extra couple of million? Think of all the goodwill you could win back by saying, listen, we know it's hard, we know things are tough out there, we're going to freeze it. We could debate it for a long time, but as I say, I'll encourage anyone to get in touch with their thoughts and comments on it if you are tuning in at this moment in time. A few other headlines, we won't have time to catch them all. Liam Scales signed his new deal. Daniel Kelly yet to sign a contract extension, but talks ongoing there, seemingly quite positive. And Inter Milan seem to be the latest side to have joined the race for Matt O'Reilly's signature. Any quick comments on those before we start to wrap things up?
I think we're, you know, uncomfortably comfortable that we might not see much more of Matt O'Reilly. It's just the way football goes. And we need to be aware of our position in the food chain on this and sell Celtic accordingly on that. And Matt O'Reilly would be a great example to sell. Came in, did this, got that kind of thing. So
what a poster boy, Paddy. For many reasons, but joined Celtic from League One, MK Dons, for $1.5 million.
Yeah.
Spends, what would it be, 2.5 seasons at the club, wins lots of silverware, gets a move to a top European club. It's a really attractive proposition when Celtic are then recruiting other players.
Yeah, and no doubt I think he could make the jump. I think we look at the performances of him this season, a very, very strong first half, and which was a difficult starting 11 to play a part. I think he took a lot on his shoulders. I have thought that he has looked a little bit tired, but as I said in the pre-match, he's still popping up with great assists and great goals. That for me is goal of the season. I think on Saturday it's an incredible ball.
Not according to the PFA.
Well, listen, they've got their mind made up already, I suppose. But they
got to win something.
Aye, absolutely. The vision, the technique of the pass, and a great finish from Kyogo as well. He would really suit the Italian game as well. Yep. I think he would fit into it seamlessly. And he'll be thinking about his international career. The only thing I've mentioned before that gives Celtic a little chance of potentially keeping him is if he makes the Euro squad.
Mm. Yeah, that would give him reassurance that he can still do that whilst at Celtic.
Absolutely.
Paddy, final comments, as I say, just very quickly on Liam Scales' new 4-year deal and any comments you've got on Daniel Kelly.
Yeah, as I said in the pre-match as well, I was a bit surprised about the deal for Scales being so long. I think it's a reward for what he's done this season. I still think that for me, he's not a starter next year. But he's clearly loving it here as well. And I think you sign that line knowing where your position will be. Listen, for all I know, he's given the opportunity with the jersey next season, but I wouldn't be surprised if we are looking at someone maybe just a level higher than what Liam Scales can do. A massive well done to him. A massive well done to him this season, and he can hold his head up high for what he's done. And he stepped up when there's two others there that don't seem to cut it for Brendan Rodgers. So yeah, well done to Liam Scales there. Daniel Kelly, is this again a case of Celtic maybe just coming in with the low offer and he's just rejected it straight away?
If in doubt, start low.
Aye, absolutely.
And then see what happens and bump it up from there.
So I don't know what's happened there. Maybe they're waiting for the 3% for the season tickets to come in. They give them a better contract. I know. Listen, as I say, I'm not trying to be negative. I think we're in a good place just now. Our team's in a good place. Our manager's in a good place. And the supporters definitely on Saturday were in an even better place. Brilliant.
Absolutely. And listen, let's finish on a really positive note. James, your own final comments for the week.
Yeah, just that. You know, the last, early May, last 2 months has been fantastic. 2.5 months in terms of the you know, just putting it back together, you know, because we're written off by February, and putting it back together and putting us in this position, knowing that if you win on Saturday, 3 points, that's all. Go and win on Saturday, pick up those 3 points, it's done.
Is it? Is it all over?
Aye.
Okay. Paddy, your own final comments.
Nah, he's done. If we go and do it on Saturday, for me, even as you guys say, I think the draw, that's it. I think it'll be an exciting game on Saturday. I can see goals and I can see red cards. And I think it'll be heated.
So Beaton and Colin were held off of senior appointments at the weekend, right. So they'll be around.
That's usually the indicator. Yeah. They don't get a big game the week before, so that they're free from controversy to take the reins.
I don't know who I want where.
It'll be Colin ref Beaton.
If I could hand pick my referee, I wouldn't know who to pick.
No.
There's just nothing. Let's hope, as always, the ref's not involved. But Paddy, a win as you suggest, or even a draw. I was going to say I'd take it. I'm not taking it.
I want the win.
Let's go all out for the win. We'll cover all of that, as I mentioned, on Thursday's show. That wraps things up on this latest episode of the Celtic Exchange Weekly. Thanks to James and Paddy for joining me, and thanks to you for tuning in. Don't forget to join us live on Thursday, 7 p.m. for the Countdown to Kickoff show, ahead of this weekend's massive derby with Rangers. In the meantime, as always, thanks for supporting the Celtic Exchange. We'll see you again very soon.
Network.